feel like I'm covered in white bits all the time.
It's because you roll around on the floor all the time.
Don't. I haven't rolled around the floor in a long time. Because I'm stupid, old shit.
Oh. Me. Why is your mic so high? Are you shrunk?
I don't know.
You're sitting back. Are you social distancing?
The dimensions are all wrong.
Now you're fucking with the TV.
No, that's not me, bro.
I don't know why that's happening. It was all right for a while. Fucking hell. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Outlaw Picks podcast.
Oh, shit, I'm not really ready.
Well,
under-teed.
Under-teed.
I interviewed a physio for a role.
Like a 5-minute round?
Like, are you shit at jiu-jitsu? Would you like to roll with me?
You'd be too good, you can't have a job.
And everyone else on the call was American, and I was like, oh, I can't do this without a T. And they all just went, ugh.
I don't know what's going on. I apologise for the flickering screen. I'll have to contact the graphics department. Fucking thing. Anyway,
it's not an amazing start.
I've done my bit.
Right, listen. If you are down with the OPP, yeah, you know me.
Yeah, nice.
You would have heard us talk about Unbound Merino a lot at regular intervals. It's incredibly high quality. We are wearing it right now. Ethically sourced, always in style. And they are going in for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Going in. So as of right now, there is 40% off on the website. And
40%
off on the web, up to 40% off on the website. Not everything is 40%, up to 40% off on the website. And there will be even bigger deals on Cyber Monday. But if you wait till then, I can't guarantee that they will have stock.
They won't have stock.
But I don't think so. I think they're going to sell out real fast. So it's up to you. You can take the gamble and you can wait to see what the discounts are like for Cyber Monday, or you can exploit the up to 40% off now and get on board with Unbound Merino. Also, because we're such good friends of them, they've given us a Outlaw Extra code that will give you another 5% off whatever they've already got off on the website. Outlaw Extra.
Nice.
Will give you an extra 5% off. So go to unboundmerino.com, jump on board. They have everything from crew necks to jumpers, to hoods, to track pants, to socks, to beanies, everything. It's very cool.
We need to get a little one for Darth Vader.
Man, that would be
like a little merino sweatshirt.
Yeah.
A black one, a black hood.
Have you seen the guy that always says, don't Google mulesing on the comments?
I haven't. I won't. Because I have a feeling it's going to be terrible.
Do not Google.
So this is why Darth needs one of these, because they've got dark side hoods.
Oh,
like,
nice.
They're big enough to be a Sith Lord. Yeah, see? Yeah. TV's agreeing with me.
As soon as you mentioned Sith Lord.
Sorry,
unboundmerino.com. Go get it. It's wicked. You'll love it. And use the discount codes because you'll get it cheaper, basically.
Nice.
That's the read. All good. So we're reviewing because
there's nothing happening this week.
There's nothing happening. Well, there's lots happening. There's nothing happening for the UFC, is there?
No.
Which is quite rare.
Oh, yeah, there is a one championship this Friday, isn't there?
Right.
Hang on, I'll pull that up as well. You continue. You've got notes.
I have got notes.
You're organised.
Of course, I like to be prepared.
Of course you do.
I quite enjoyed this card. People were sort of getting at it a bit before it happened, as they do, and I quite enjoyed it.
What was with all the hip throws?
Yeah, I know. Judo's back.
We're seeing a lot in the gym as well, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's a good way of getting positions moving.
Yeah.
Even if you don't get it, yeah.
What's the leg movement? It's the gacky, right?
I don't know.
It's the hack. I think it's the gacky.
Jimmy's the one to ask
like
for that.
Gacky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a wizard.
I hope that's right. Throw. Otherwise, I'm going to get
trip.
All kinds of abuse.
Wizard throw.
All kinds of abuse. Pinheiro is all right, isn't she?
Yeah, she is good. She is good. I did feel like there were moments, though, where Sam Hughes could have just kind of gone after her a little bit because, like, she wasn't comfortable a lot of the time. As we said, like, as soon as you get her past the first round, she's going to start to look uncomfortable because she's only done it once before and she lost a split decision. And there were times when she was like, ugh. And Sam Hughes is tough and she'll scrap, but she just didn't put herself in positions where she could.
She just didn't recognize, exactly what you're saying, she didn't recognize when she like Pierre just was taking a little breath. He was like, yeah. "Oh fuck!"
Yeah,
and she if she pushed and pressured, then it could have changed the path of the fight.
Yeah,
I mean the thing is, Pierre is good, man.
She is good. She is good, and she was very effective at fighting in like a burst. Like she would wait and she'd move and she'd kind of gather herself, and then she was very quick off the mark.
Yeah,
and she had nice, like everything was stitched together nicely, striking. A little bit chaotic, and if it got stalled, then she looked uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But if she got it all the way through to the final expression, you know, down to the floor,
It's just the ebbs and flows of the fight. I don't feel like Sam Hughes was in tune as she could have been with what was, like, the tempo of the fight.
She wasn't able to shift it in her favour at all. Like, really, I mean, Sam Hughes might be like a Brian Barberena kind of fighter, like back you up and maul you and just beat you to the punch because they're doing more.
She's tough, isn't she? But she just missed a couple of chances, I thought. Lovely, like you say, lovely hip toss from the Whizzer. And also Pinheiro, like fake to a single, popped back up and threw a left hook on the end of it and caught Sam, I think. Yeah. It was really nice. It was wicked.
I saw one with the Aoki doing that a little while ago. I think we've discussed it, where he threw a head kick. He's from a southpaw stance, throws a head kick, bounces off the guard.
Yeah.
A little bit later, throws another head kick, a bit lazier, a bit slower. And then the third time, he feints high and then drops low and wraps that lead leg and takes him down.
Beautiful.
He's against Edward Folaya.
Nice. So it was not a bad start. I think I don't know whether Hughes would be like devastated by that loss. I reckon she'll come out of that feeling like it was not too. It was the level wasn't too different. She just didn't quite do what she needed to do.
Yeah, she's just not in a good spot though, is she? Because she's. No. I mean, she lost three in a row in the UFC.
She hasn't got enough X factor to buy herself another fight, really. Either,
not really.
It's not like, oh, she's lost three, but look, she's got this thing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she'll go back to LFA and pick up a couple of wins and then
fight
be there
her way
ready.
Back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like she's not tough enough. She just needs to. She needs to know when to apply her skills, and read her opponent a bit better. Mm. Like you said, like I mean, maybe I'd say that she was the one recovering as well. When Pinheiro was taking a break, but it didn't look like she was. It just looked like she works at that steady pace and she just kind of couldn't get herself quite into range.
I don't know how far Pinheiro goes. She looks like she's sort of working away to find a real solid game to sort of challenge the top ladies in that division.
Yeah.
I don't think she's there yet, right?
No, I don't know. I feel like if she comes up against someone that like digs their heels in and he's willing to really scrap with her.
Pressure game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Tisha Torres has got a win over Sam Hughes. That might make sense. Mm-hmm. That might be a good step.
Yeah.
Let me get the rankings pulled up.
Yeah, I had them up earlier. Nuad Mbeki, as I was watching it. Oh, we still talking about Pinheiro? Do you want to look at the rankings first?
Yeah.
Where are they?
They're coming. Oh, okay.
Way too many tabs open.
Straw weight, right down the bottom. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the... I mean, is Jessica Penney coming off a win? I think she picked up a win in the last one. Anyway, like, there's a couple of good options down at the bottom of the top 15. Like, someone like an Angela Hill might be a good test.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Angela's a consistent kind of benchmark to test fighters against. Like, someone like Amanda Lemos might be a real problem because she's got that grit to, like, stand her ground and fight. She's physically very strong, very imposing, and she's got good hands as well. Like, heavy boxing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If she gets through the first round, she doesn't get subbed.
And just keeps coming at her.
And then keeps pressuring her. Someone like that. Would be a tough one. I mean, Verna's just come off a win, hasn't she? She might be a good option as well. Verna Jandiroba.
Yeah. She'll bring it to her, won't she?
Always.
She's not gonna back
good
down.
Good grappling game as well, so if it does end up on the ground, it might be competitive there as well.
Yeah, let's see. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, it was a decent win. I don't think she puts a marker down. It's like, look, I'm here. Look what I just did. It's just a solid sort of mid-tier win, isn't it?
Good for her to pick up a win over three rounds.
True. Good experience.
Probably a confidence booster for her.
Also, sometimes I think like how to recognise that pacing strategy. If you just consistently aren't going to the third round, you don't subconsciously work out what a three-round pacing strategy feels like, you know. And like now she's got that in the, she's got that in the bank.
Yeah, she's yeah, for sure. I definitely think that first time you go three rounds and you assure yourself you can work hard over three rounds.
Yeah.
It's a big step forward. Okay.
You and I'm Becky and Soriano.
Yeah.
It's funny, you've definitely touched on it before, but like this game is, it's like decision tree after decision tree after decision tree, isn't it? And depending on which fork you're sort of taking, the decision takes you down a certain road. And like in that first round, you and Becky just made one or maybe two like poor decisions, and then that was it. The round was, he basically lost the round, and then came back with a bit of a vengeance, and you know, pulled it back in round two and dominated round three, didn't he? Mm. And he came away with a good win. But yeah, it's just the smallest, it's like a cascade effect, isn't it? Like you make one mistake and then it's just like, oh, I'm rolling down this river of shit now, and I have to try and paddle my way back out of it.
I think that's when, you know, when people say it's like it's 90% mental. I think that's the part that they're talking about
just
primarily.
See the decision making slowly. You know, like the guys that are the best in anything they do, it seems like they see everything in slow motion, doesn't it? It's like they're playing at a different tempo, and like everything is rushed to a beginner, and then everything is like slow to someone who's elite. Mm. And that's what it is you should make that decision under calm decision making.
But that requires a level of confidence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even when things start to go bad, it requires a level of confidence to go, oh, it's all right, I'm going to pull this back.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, it's something that I often think about, especially in fights like that, where it starts bad and then you know, is recovered in the second and third. What would the fight look like if you took out the breaks in the rounds? Like that point to regroup.
Yeah, yeah, right.
There's
no chance to regroup now.
Like how much of a mental break is that from the fight to be able to sit down and go, okay, hang on a minute, I need to fix this. This is not going well.
Plenty of people just get to the second round or just get to the third round and then turn it around, don't they? Plenty of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, strange. I never really thought about it like
that. Pride, they used to do the 10-minute round, didn't they, to start with?
Yeah.
And sometimes people really would have a rough 10-minute round.
I'm going to start you on a 10-minute round. Wicked.
Yeah. Seems like a long time, doesn't it? 10 minutes. I had the guys this morning on that 15-minute cycle against the wall. And it'll be in the new Rough House episode going up soon. It was a brutal session this morning.
When you go from when you go from 3-minute rounds to 5-minute rounds, it's like an eternity.
It is.
And then when you go backwards, like you've sort of, the camps are finished and then you start the new camp at 3-minute rounds, you're like, this is all
right. Right.
This is easy.
Into a boxing class and the bell starts.
3 minutes.
You're like, all right.
Warming up.
Nice. Yeah. It's weird how quickly it changes things though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That extra 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So then what happens if you take that 1 minute rest out?
15 minutes back to back. 15
minutes just straight through.
Well, you'd probably, the quality of the sport would probably get less.
You'd need more stand-ups, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd have to like instantly stand people up. Yeah. Yeah, because you want, it's that fine balancing that people are always fucking with rules in all kinds of sports, but you still want it to be appealing to watch.
Yeah.
And if it was a 15-minute round and like everyone's screwed by 7 minutes in, it's just going to be a miserable last seven minutes predominantly.
I'd be interested to see some like high level pro MMA 5 3-minute rounds.
Yeah, because you're coming out hard, ain't you?
Yeah.
Coming out
pace
hard.
Pace changes. Yeah. You get a minute to reset. So you know,
every 15 1-minute rounds with a minute's rest in between.
In a phone box with knives.
Yeah. Oh,
it's getting out of hand. You're getting way out of hand.
Sidetracked.
No, I mean, I like the 3, because obviously the guys at the gym have been sparring threes because they're fighting on golden tickets soon. Yeah. And a lot of them are amateurs. So they're like 3-minute rounds. It's like, it's all so out. Easy to lose the round.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so easy to, all of a sudden, you've been taken down, you're scrambling, you can't quite get back to your feet. You take a few shots and the bell goes and you're like, shit. Now you're into the next round and now you've really got to do something.
Yeah.
And you absolutely don't want the same thing to happen again. And it could quite easily happen in a 3-minute round. It's weird.
That's true.
It's
very true. You just don't have time to win that round back, do you?
No.
By the time you sort of circled, felt each other out a little bit, exchanged a little bit, oh, now you got put on your back, and suddenly I've tried to get up twice and he stuffed my get up and now the round's over.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm one down.
But then, I do wonder how, like, obviously we're still learning because it's still a new sport, but I wonder how, like, the amateurs coming through right now that are getting good experience over 3-minute rounds, then when they turn pro and they still set the 3-minute round pace, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they do fight at a hell of a pace, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, you watch especially the smaller gym, guys. Like, yeah. Like,
you watch Jack and that lot. The Henshaw, output.
Tom Owen,
and Tom, the
Riley,
output they're putting.
Yeah.
It's like double or treble what the bigger guys are putting out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, it's coming, isn't it? Again, the leg drag to half guard to get up is just not being done, is it? I mean, obviously it is being done, but it's not like encoded on the mainframe of everyone that bang, half guard, leg drag, half guard, unhook, get up. I'm not saying he could have easily got up, but
people should be doing it unconsciously, though, shouldn't they? They should literally be doing it unconsciously just in case they're taking big shots.
Yeah.
It should be that ingrained.
You just know it.
Yeah.
Like a couple of boys, again, going back to the gym, a couple of boys at the gym are like so comfortable there now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, whatever, fine.
It's
whatever.
Actually, surprisingly, it can be learned really quickly.
Mm.
Like a few of the guys, like if you think some of the guys that was really struggling in mount and side control positions, and now they're starting to escape with good basics.
Yeah.
Like it can be learned really quickly, especially when you start to actually get the reward of actually escaping a bad position. Yeah. You go, oh shit.
Oh.
But as we were talking about earlier, like an escape on the ground is like landing a good combination on the feet. Like you need to do each step correctly with the right timing in order to achieve your outcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like Henry Hoofman. He's very calm in the corner.
Yeah.
And I know it didn't go his way in the end, but he's very calm, nice tone. You know, he's not fanning people up. You know what I mean? He's just like, tells them what he needs to know and gets it done.
he should have his own sleep app.
Yeah, I know.
Just now calm down. Take a breath.
I think Soriano looked like he took that loss really hard, like he looked quite emotional about it, but, you know, he's not that far off. It's just the control game is the control game. That's why it's the pillar of the sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is if you can exert control, you're stacking the deck.
Yeah. I mean, he landed more significant strikes.
Yeah.
Like 35 significant strikes out of 56.
This leads on something else, another fight later on. So, by your honesty, what is a significant strike? Like
something that upsets the balance of the opponent.
So we'll talk about it later, but if you land a strike, but they're rolling that quite significantly, it looks like it's hitting you, but you're actually rolling it. Like, what is it?
This is the issue with these stats based on a read of a human and how well they understand the impact of the shots.
Davy Grant looked like he landed a lot. But when you watch it real close, he's not landing very much at all.
He's not.
Yanez is rolling or absorbing 90% of it.
Yeah. He's got, like we talked about on the podcast last week about how he's very kind of Masvidal style.
Yeah.
But he's got adaptability to his style. Like he can change it. Like a lot of that stuff that he was doing, like rolling stuff off the lead shoulder and kind of shrinking away out of range, is very Robbie Lawler. You know? Like he's got that kind of merge. He's a very, very slick striker. Really good. Impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I just like if significant strikes the judges have access to the stats for significant strikes, right?
No,
they don't.
No.
Okay, well that changed it a little bit.
No, they don't have access to anything. They don't even have a screen. They literally watch the fight through the fence.
And judge it. But again, like it, you know, it goes back to.
Oh no, sorry, they do have a screen. They have a screen in front of them, a small one.
But they don't have stats.
No, they don't. They have no stats.
That's good. At least
it's a blank feed. There's not even any pop-ups or anything on it. No, I mean it's up for debate, isn't it? Like, what's a significant strike, and how valuable is a strike? Like a tap from side control, a hammer fist from side control, or half guard compared to
straight right down the pipe standing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know as there should be a division between significant and total strikes.
Mm. But you're like opening it up to subjectivity. It's like, oh, what you think significant is not significant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like strike or not strike.
Yeah. I mean,
tough,
I mean,
isn't it? Like, I'm not saying it's not tough.
Well, how
tough,
do you weigh up? Do you weigh up, like, what's highly prioritized? Is it immediate damage or gradual damage?
Yeah.
Like, you want immediate damage. They're the concussive
accumulation
blows
of damage,
that, but that doesn't score as highly.
Yeah. Tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
We're all figuring it out. We're all figuring this game out.
I think there's a certain level of just kind of like there's a certain level of instinct to it. Like you've got to kind of feel who won the fight without a bias, and that's the difficult part. That's why you've got to put it in some kind of rigid scoring structure.
Yeah.
But set the bias out of it.
But you sort of, do you know what I mean? Like, you know who's winning the fight.
Yeah.
Like, you just watch it. You know if it's a score, you're like, oh, he won that round.
Some of them are really close, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them are incredibly close.
That's the level of the people in the sport at the minute, isn't it?
It is. Okay, next up.
Richie Leng.
Yeah. Richie Leng
and Durden. I thought this was closer than the result. Well, there you go. I thought this was close. Richie Leng was not very far away from that, from winning that.
But
Durden's tough, though.
He is incredibly tough. Yeah. He got tired very quickly, though, didn't he? He worked really hard and got really tired quickly and then started to look incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, this was something I noticed in this fight as well as the Loma fight. And obviously we do a lot of stuff at our gym with footwork and like cage control and understanding the space that you're in and how to like take it off your opponent and manipulate their movement. A lot of these fighters that I'm watching at the moment are they've got good footwork reactive to their opponent but not to the space that they're in. Does that make sense?
Not like, proactive footwork. Like I'm not putting my footwork on you and steering you into where I want you.
Exactly. It's like they know how to like step to the outside of the foot to like expose that angle and make their opponent uncomfortable, or you know what I mean, like square them up for particular techniques or whatever. But it's
In relation to their environment, it's not great.
Yeah, like Peter Yan, for example. Yeah. Peter Yan is a good example of someone that uses the fence very well to kind of shepherd them into a corner where he can then start working them in a pressured situation. But then if you watch Loma's got really good footwork, but only in relation to her opponent.
Yeah.
Like if her opponent moves forward, she can quite happily circle herself onto the fence, completely ignoring the fact that the fence is there.
Yeah.
It's almost like the space, the shape of the arena is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's an open space and she just kind of maneuvers around her opponent where she needs to. Maybe she's so comfortable in the clinch, but like I don't want to jump between fights, but Godinez, when she shot in on her in the second round and she got her backed up against the fence, like she'd stepped in, landed a couple of shots, and Loma committed to an up elbow and she just level changed and shot her into the fence. Really clean takedowns. She would have been far easier to defend those if she wasn't trapped up against the fence. But she often circled herself onto the fence because she's only reacted to her opponent.
Yeah, it was almost irrelevant to her where the fence was.
But then,
conversely, when used right, it's like a weapon, right?
Mm.
You know, you're manipulating the environment by moving people into spaces that you want them moved into.
Yeah, it's like you're appealing to their subconscious to go in the direction that's safest.
Yeah.
I've been kind of reverse engineering this a little bit recently because like when I was doing the cage session on Thursday last week, Riley said, "Did you do this kind of stuff when you were fighting, or is this stuff that you've been like working on and understanding since?" And I understand it a lot better since, but I did also understand controlling somebody up against a fence or drawing them to me to counter, because that they were two sides of my striking game that I was pretty familiar with, but I think that's because when I started martial arts, it was for reality situations. Mm. And in those circumstances, you've got to watch, there's a wall here, there's the phone box, I've got to watch that table behind me to my left.
Mm.
Like you've got to be aware of your surroundings and also aware of multiple opponents. So it gives you this kind of spatial awareness that I think when you then go, oh, now we're in a ring and now we're in a cage.
And how much time are you training in the ring and in the cage? Really?
Yeah, not a lot.
Most people are training on mats, right? Padded walls and maybe a cage wall.
Yeah.
But they're not training they're not training where they're going to compete.
No.
Well, I was thinking about what my head went off while you were saying that, in that I find a lot, and I'm sure you'll find the same, sort of older generation coaches do stuff, and it's not until like now we reflect back on doing that. They're doing it and it's the right thing to do. They're not necessarily doing it for the right reason, but now we've come to understand why that is a good thing to do, but they're not necessarily coaching it with that in mind, but they just know that it works for the sport. And now because we have more access to information or whatever, we're like, oh, you do that because of this. And they'll be like, well, I don't give a fuck, whatever. Yeah. We'll do this because it works. And then you work out why, do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm sure there's some Thai boxing stuff that you'd have talked about back in the day where you're like, I never mentioned that's why we did it. But now I understand why we did it.
Yeah.
Because it's for whatever reason, you know.
For sure. That's why I like looking through those old books.
Yeah.
Like even if they're in a language I can't understand, I like looking through and looking at the diagrams and trying to understand what's going on. But like especially with like a lot of the old styles of Kung Fu, there was stuff that they used to do with the footwork and with their lower body attacks that was really, really smart stuff. But then, like, they would have these, like, patterns that they would drill, like Singi or Bagua. They would move in octagonal footwork patterns. And it was all about twisting and remaining balanced as you were doing stuff. Yeah. You were blocking and attacking. Just good drills. But, like, that then taken out and modernized and applied to MMA, for sure, is valuable. Mm. Like, those patterns are good to be rehearsed. That's why I do a lot of footwork.
Like correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of the Kung Fu and a lot of the traditional martial arts was about postures, right?
Mm.
And we know how important postures are. Like, obviously, the traditional martial arts got a little bit lost in terms of efficacy and how, like, actually usable it was. But some of the principles were right.
Yeah. But they were also starting with nothing as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're a monk in a monastery on a hillside, like, what reference have you got for fighting? It's not like you can jump on YouTube and watch, you know,
a million
50
fights.
Years worth of you know, high-level professional martial arts or boxing. Like, they were literally watching animals and trying to figure out. So they were like trying to understand how their body works in comparison to other animals that know how to fight with one another.
Yeah, true.
It's weird. It's weird. It's like a technology.
You see, Durden said something about sending him back to China.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right. Well, like, if you fought someone from Wales and you said, oh, I'm going to send him back to Wales, like, everyone's not going to cry about that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what the problem is, bro? Is you've got half the world of dickheads and half the world of wet wipes. And you've just got this, like, clash in the middle where...
What we need is dick wipes.
Fucked. This is why I only speak to six people in the whole world. It's just like, fuck off. Like, I don't... Like, everyone's like, oh my God, that's so racist.
Yeah, I didn't stand out. It was like, racist. Well,
send you back to England, all right? Well, yeah. I'm going there anyway. Calm down.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like, if he was an Asian American...
Yeah, right.
That would have been...
But he's actually from China, right? Yeah. I'm not getting that wrong. He's from China.
He's Chinese, yeah.
Right. All right. I'm going back anyway. I have my flights booked. Sweet. Right. See you next time.
I want to stay here. Vegas is gross. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Luke Boomy and Loopy. I know we've
this was a good fight.
I thought Loopy was really good.
Yeah.
Really good,
Really good. Especially, and there's something to be said for consistency of competition.
I was going to say that.
Right?
It's just like, you know, you fall in and out of form, but you can't get form if you're not competing.
Right.
So like, now she's in form through competing.
That's it. Like, imagine if there was a situation where you could compete once every 4 weeks, as long as you weren't injured.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean,
how much better would you get?
Like, football players play, you know, every weekend or something.
Sometimes twice a week,
There you go. Like, rugby, what's the schedule for rugby?
Yeah, once a week, pretty much, for 8-9 months of the year.
That's pretty fucking physical. Yeah. That's a lot of work for, what, 90 minutes, is it?
80 minutes, once a week.
Fuck, working that
three
that
quarters
long.
Of the year.
15, 25 at a push.
Yeah.
For gold. But you know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah.
Like, imagine if there was a system where you could do that, like there was a league that you could get into where you could fight regularly and you were like, as long as you weren't injured, put me back in, coach.
Like, what is training? Training is preparing for competition, but nothing gets you better than the actual competition.
Yeah. But having said that, Loma's had 200 Thai boxing fights, and although she probably beat
but it seemed
Loopy
like,
in Muay Thai.
She'd beat him, right?
You would think,
You would think so.
Yeah.
Luke Boomy's just like a bit set, isn't she? Like she, and when she throws, like hard, like she fucking throws. But that setness and that feet planted a little bit, Lupu weren't having a bar of it, were she? She was much more fluid in her movement, and she just mixed everything up and like set up against the fence. She just timed those takedowns and just blasted her a couple of times.
Yeah. Like that style of striking works really well as long as the other person's only striking.
Yeah, if they want to play.
As soon as you add a level change and your feet are planted, you're not moving.
Yeah, I remember I distinctly looked at her feet a couple of times and they were like They were pretty close. Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, she does look like she's gotten a lot heavier for this weight class. Like she's an atom weight and she's moved up. Yeah. I mean, she looks fucking strong. Like she looks like she's been doing a lot of lifting. Like her legs are fucking heavy,
massive, isn't they?
Like she's probably in a much more a much thicker frame. You know, like I remember when I was walking around at 170 and fighting at 170, and then when I'm walking around at 200 plus, and I'm like trying to move the same, and I'm like, boom, boom. Yeah, it just feels different. You know, feels heavier, feel more powerful.
I know we're skipping between fights, but when I was watching the Chiesa and Brady fight, I was thinking, how the fuck are they 170?
Right.
What the fuck? They're welterweight?
How did Chiesa make 55, though?
No, no.
Crazy.
No, no. Flicking back to the Luke Boomy fight, the Jimmy Wallhead shin on throat made an appearance for a little bit there.
Love it.
Love it. There you go.
Tried and tested.
Some of that, yeah.
Tried and tested.
Like it.
Yeah. It was a fun fight. I think we saw the limitations in Luke Boomy's game, and I think her strength was being like a high-paced Muay Thai fighter that was lethal on the inside, and she just seemed to stand a bit at range. Yeah. She seems to have changed their angle of her kicks as well. They seem to be very straight, which squares the hips up, doesn't really commit to the kick, which takes some of the power out of it, speeds it up a little bit, but also leaves you susceptible to takedowns. I don't know. I think she'd have probably been better trying to put it on Godinez, like a high pace, high volume, chopping into her legs, like blocking her takedowns and clinching elbows and knees.
Yeah, Godinez she's just a good advert for regular competition, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I feel like she's got better in the last three fights.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's good. I don't know where, Luke Boomy won't go back down, will she?
There isn't a back down. This is the lowest weight class in the UFC.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah, atom weight. Yeah, right. All right.
Yeah.
She better speed up then.
I know.
She can't go back down. She better speed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Nathan Levy and Garcia.
Yeah.
Is that next?
Yeah. This was a lot of fun to watch, but I was disappointed that Levy looked uncomfortable pretty early.
Yeah.
Like he started to look up at the clock. And I think even Fitzy referenced it once. He was like, oh, he's looking up at the clock to figure out his way out. And I'm like, he's not. He's trying to figure out how much time he's got left. It's been a while since he fought, isn't it?
Yeah. He's got some potential though, right? Like he has a couple of little bits about him where you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You might need a little bit more time, but you got some very aesthetic techniques. Like he looks great. I felt like Garcia was just more willing to like
just more comfortable, tough, more game,
tough
wasn't
it? Out
just,
and like he's a bit more of a brawler, but I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to his martial arts. He wasn't like brawling, but he just had a bit more dog in him, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he was, you know, Nathan looked pretty and he did some like lovely stuff that you'd take photos of and go, oh shit, look at that. And Garcia was like, nah.
Yeah.
Double legs, single legs, fucking heavy hands.
Right. On a different day, one of those body kicks could have stopped him, could have won the fight. But he looks uncomfortable at certain times. He looked up at the clock a lot and I'm like, he looks like he doesn't want to be here anymore.
And again, the control game, like Garcia just controlled him, put him on his back. He's tough to get him off.
But then that's, you know, going back to the fight that we've just been talking about, that's another argument for competing regularly. Like he's not been competitive in a while. It's been a year. He's had two cancelled bouts and, you know, he's still young in his career. He's got to be active.
Yeah, most other sports, when you think about it, taking a year, and boxing's different. Boxing's similar enough that it translates, but imagine only playing one game of football a year. Fuck me, you'd have to have a good game, wouldn't you? Everything's built on that one game of football a year.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you do get bruised up and stuff in fights, and sometimes you have a hard fight and you do need more than a couple of weeks off. But if you're fighting regularly, I think, like Jimmy and I were probably fighting 14, 15 times a year, including kickboxing matches.
Yeah, really?
Excuse me. Yeah. I mean, we were...
Wow, I got that really clear.
Sorry. Got a real tickle in my throat. I don't know why. I've been yelling all morning at the gym.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Is that how much it was a year?
Yeah. Like, we'd have a bunch of MMA. We'd probably fight MMA once a month, and then we'd have another kickboxing match. Like, I remember a few times, like, and then the other thing as well is when I was first doing MMA professionally and Muay Thai, like I would drop into a grappling competition in a weekend as well. So I was competing most weekends at something.
UFC contracts locked in that you can't grapple without permission and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, there are a few things that you can do.
I see
I don't know whether people dropping in and out of stuff.
I don't know whether you have to get like...
I don't know whether you have to get permission.
Pre-authorized or something.
I think there would be a limitation if it was striking.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't do anything. You couldn't do combat jiu-jitsu. You could probably do grappling. But then like the old contracts, the ones that we used to sign, it used to say stuff like we couldn't go like skiing.
Contract.
And, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is sign this piece of paperwork and we own your soul.
Yeah, everything forever.
But it was like no horse riding. No, I don't know how Cowboy got away with it because he must have been in breach of contract
just
on a daily
anyway,
basis.
Do whatever.
Yeah. No cave diving. That was a fucking scary story.
That
Jesus.
Was a horrendous story, isn't it?
Sounds like a nightmare.
He's so close to not making it out of there.
Yeah. There's probably been a few times that Cowboy's been so close to where. Like the Grim Reaper's just been watching going, go on, motherfucker.
Go on. One more step.
Yeah.
No, Nate, I think Nathan will be back.
I think, for sure.
I think
soon,
he's got a future.
Soon.
Yeah, he's got a future. Yeah, I think it's a good point. You know that's what these younger guys coming up should be doing, even if it's not striking as much as you guys are doing. But they should be doing competition of some sort.
Yeah,
you just get used to competition.
Yeah, these boys don't know it yet, but when Roughhouse gets moving in the new year, they're going to be competing a lot more.
Yeah,
we'll be rolling to tournaments together as well, and you know. Grappling competitions and stuff. Competition everywhere we can go. Everywhere we can get it.
There's no reason not to.
No. Especially before you turn pro. Get as much experience as possible.
Yeah. It's funny, because you just grab the pro setup and you apply it to amateurs and it's not necessarily the right thing to do. It's like you don't train a kid like you train an adult or you train a pro like you... You know, you'd be better off competing more and training less as a amateur.
For sure.
Get used to that competition.
And being sensible as well. Like, if you are injured, if you are run down, then do stop. But if you can be competitive, like, fuck it. If you're in shape and you can get 3-4
weeks
competition.
You know what? It'll stop people getting in and out of shape all the time as well.
For sure,
if you're constantly competing. It's not like, oh, I get to camp. Oh, great. I can get out of shape. All right. I start camp having to get back in shape again.
Yeah.
That stupid cycle that we
keep them in season.
Constantly.
Keep them ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pat Sabatini was pretty masterful, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, just...
Frustrating
just
for
control.
Lutz.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Lutz didn't really take much damage, did he, Lutz? And I think he's very good.
And it was just like, fucking, like, back again.
But then, it's on him to make that stop.
Yeah.
You know, Sabatini's closing doors left, right and centre. He's making direct route to winning that fight. And he's tough, isn't he? He's tough to, he's one of the evolutions of the sport is that how do you deal with someone at that level of control?
Mm.
Because it's not that great to watch.
Nearly 11 minutes of control.
Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
This is why I think the focus, and this is reflected in the way that we train at the gym, like the focus has got to be do damage.
Mm.
Do as much damage as possible. Mm. If you're on someone's back and you can't get the choke... Like immediately, then just abandon it and just beat the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
Beat the hell out of them, expose their neck, make them want to be submitted.
Mm.
Like, it's a mindset. Submission. It's a mindset.
Yeah. I wonder how, what Pat Sabatini feels like the next day. He's like, fuck yeah, that was awesome.
I don't know.
He's a bit like, I just had to do what I had to do.
Yeah.
I got it. It's the main thing. I got the win.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it, but I got the win.
I was never particularly satisfied with a decision. I always felt like it was a bit unresolved.
Yeah.
I had some tough fights, though. I mean, 25 minutes against Matt Thorpe. And I remember at the end of that feeling to myself like I deserved the win.
But you had a fight.
Yeah. But I also felt like, it wasn't conclusive enough because I didn't stop him.
If you fight with someone for 25 minutes, you've been in a fight.
For sure.
Because that's a tough dude who's hanging for 25
Definitely.
Minutes.
He nearly got me a couple of times with arm bars. Yeah. Do you see Marcus Davis won his first pro fight in 9 years?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I think he's 48 and he had a fight the other day. Mate, he's fucking shredded.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That happens around that age. That does happen around that age.
48,
Can't wait.
It's that second...
The second pulse of testosterone.
Second puberty, isn't it?
Yeah,
for sure.
Good on
Midlife
him.
Puberty.
Yeah.
No, he won by triangle.
Yeah, what was the promotion called? TRT. I'm not hating because I'm going on that motherfucker in about 6 months.
Oh, yeah, is that right?
For sure.
Is that your time?
You'll know because I'll be like, my head will be like Dana head.
You'll come back from America looking different.
It's prescribed, bro. It's prescribed. What are you on about?
I'll be sitting across and be like, what the fuck? We're gonna have to move his mic.
Yeah, and I definitely won't fit underneath here. Yeah, it was just a fucking, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Pat Sabatini did what he had to do, didn't he? There was a lovely push-pull to reap up against the fact. It was like, I was like, oh shit, that's fucking nice.
I did love the performance from one of the judges as well. Really, really pretending to be interested in what was going on. And I'm like, I know full well that that individual.
You have no idea what's happening right now.
Never, ever stepped on a mat. Would walk on a mat with their shoes on. Wouldn't even think twice about it.
Surely they just end up being fighters.
You would hope so.
Surely. Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. It's a bit of a fucking inside club, isn't it, these commissions? Yeah. There's a lot of people, you know.
Eventually, surely they just end up as fighters.
Yeah, maybe.
Makes sense.
But that's if fighters want to get into it.
Well, yeah, you have to pay them. They'll like that. They'll like the pay. Pay them well. Yanez and Grant.
Mate, wicked. What a fight.
Wicked.
What a fight. And I did feel for Grant. And I knew he was disappointed with the result. Like, he almost landed as much. Like, it was 98. And this is an interesting one. Because, like, you compare this one to the last fight that I was just looking at. So, just for reference. So, Sabatini against Lutz. Sabatini landed 16 significant strikes and 111 total strikes. And Lutz landed 17 significant strikes and 36 total strikes.
Tough trying to land something significant over your shoulder, isn't it?
Well, then we go on to Yanez against Davy Grant, and the stats are exactly the same for significant and total. 98 significant, 98 total, 100.
I feel like that's just a clerical error.
Right? Like, someone's just
there's
not
too
fucking,
many punches being thrown for that.
I'm not counting twice, for fuck's sake.
Oh, close
they
enough.
All look pretty significant. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Davy Grant was literally two strikes behind, and he threw, what, 18 more.
Hmm. See, I didn't know that when I made that point before, but that just reinforces the point of, like, all right, it might have looked significant, but I don't think it was significant.
No, that's because Yanez was rolling and moving.
Almost
and
everything. Like,
it was a good fight. It was
when
a competitive
you play that game,
fight. I'm not saying
you do
it
get hit. Like, you do, obviously. One of the most admirable things from my point of view in the sport is being able to counter strike and just moving just that 1 inch out of the way. Like, knowing exactly what the pitch is going to be when you move back into space and you land your shot. It's one of the most beautiful parts of the sport.
Yeah.
And Yanez was on, man. He was on. Very rarely did Davy catch him, like, clean, like, weight of the punch.
Yeah. Hitting, like, cuffing shots, weren't
they? Yeah,
like,
a lot of
time,
it.
Kind of rolling
off the shoulder, off top of the head, whatever, but it was very rarely clean. And, you know, I thought Davy was excellent. He just got rolled and laid off and almost every shot, and it was just tough in it. And there's a lot of energy expenditure when you feel like you're landing shots and you're not actually landing those shots.
Yeah. Yeah, and he got bloodied up as well, which, of course, it doesn't...
I think Yanez won, though, right? I don't feel
I think he did. I mean, it was a lot closer than I think.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, because one judge scored it 30-27 for Davy Grant. They thought he won every round. But it was competitive. I mean, I could, like, there was a round sometimes, too, if I'd see it on a different day, where I could score it for Davy Grant. Like, I understand why he was frustrated at the end. Because he was like, oh, come on. Like, you know, he thought he'd won it. Like, if he'd not got cut, it might have gone the other way, for example.
Yeah,
it was a split decision. It was a close fight. But his work rate was high. And what is that?
The chopper. It's my chopper. Sorry, I've got to go in a minute. That sounds like a Chinook.
That's
like...
It's
helicopter. Yeah.
Jesus.
They're coming.
What the fuck?
You're right. I've got enough weapons in the house to defend for at least half an hour.
You should have seen the guy's face. He was delivering the new Rev Gear punch bag the other day and he was cutting it off the pallet. Oh, yeah, he was like, have you got a knife? And I'm like, yeah.
Do I have a knife?
First one to hand.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to freak you out.
Tough on Davey.
Yeah, it was.
Yanez, I thought, did himself a lot of favours. I thought he was Davey's tricky, right? He slipped two people in three fights, hasn't he?
He's good. He's a slick striker.
Slick
striker.
Enjoyed watching it. It was close, and some of the stuff Yanez was pulling off, I was like, oh shit, yeah. I'm never going to be able to do that, but I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a division as well to be in. Look at that bottom of the top 15. Cody Stamen, Song Yadong, Frankie Edgar, Rafael Sun Sao, Marlon Vera. That'd be a good fight, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah, that'd be a good fight. Marlon Vera, Adrian Yanez.
That's a right division.
It is.
That's a right division.
Okay, next one up. Rani Yahya against Kyung Ho Kang.
Oh, mate. We've talked about this so many times. Like your tactical awareness in a fight. The only way Yahya can win this fight is if you let him take you down. So I'm not saying don't throw any leg kicks, but if you throw a leg kick, you are opening the door and he's going to try really hard to go through that door because this is the only thing he's got. clearly outmatched on the feet, wasn't he? Clearly.
Yeah.
Like sort of flirted with... Tried a little bit and was like, oh, fuck that. I don't like this.
Incredibly awkward.
Yeah.
Like a fish on the side of a, of water, basically.
And I was just like, Kang was, you know, he's a good fighter. He just opened doors that he didn't need to open. He was piecing him up on with his hands. He didn't need to throw any leg kicks. He didn't throw any kicks at all, really, did he? Could have beaten him with boxing. Kept the distance, beat him with boxing. Mm-hmm. But he didn't.
Yeah,
and that's what happens.
And you know, sometimes it's getting ahead of those takedowns defended before you kind of get started with your own game. Hmm. Like I've said that to a couple of the fighters recently, the ones that have got fights coming up. Like give them that first 2 minutes.
Yeah,
like in a 5 minute round, especially as a pro, it's different as an amateur maybe, but as a pro, first 2 minutes, like defend 3 takedowns. Pressure them without doing much and defend 3 takedowns.
Yeah.
And you break them mentally. Most of the time, you're like, oh, fuck, now what? Now I have to strike.
It's an awful feeling when you like feel like you've timed a takedown and you don't get it and you expend all of that energy and then you're like, oh, shit, that was my safety blanket. Right. Now what?
And a lot of people are more comfortable striking than Rani Yahya is. If you stuff his first couple of takedowns, then all of a sudden he starts to panic a little bit.
What has he got? Because his wrestling is not great.
No, it's not great.
His jiu-jitsu is so amazing.
Yeah, he's so confident with it, he can kind of throw himself at it. You know,
threw himself into like bottom half guard just to get some contact with Kang.
And ends up with over 10 minutes of control throughout the fight.
Yeah, like Ronnie's striking is not great. His wrestling is not great, but his groundwork is unbelievable. So all you have to do is sort these two bits out and you can, you know.
I think he's past that point though, isn't he?
Yeah, maybe.
I think he's past that.
Kang needed to do was just
sort
those two parts out. Don't go down there. Stay away from that. Sweet. Once you're in his world, you're in trouble, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're in a lot of trouble. But look, I thought Kyung Ho Kang, after 2 years out, I thought he looked quite good. He got quite sharp on his feet,
wasn't he?
Yeah, great shape. Got big dude, straight puncher.
17-9 though.
Yeah. And that didn't help at all, did it?
No, it didn't.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Mate, Talia Santos.
Is it Talia?
It's Talia.
Because I feel like there's an I missing if it's Talia.
Tyler Santos.
Who knows? There's a lot of different versions of her first name floating around. DC's got it three ways. We picked it, didn't we?
Yeah.
She's good, man.
Well-rounded, powerful.
Even more confident. Impressive that it was a stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, I think we agreed that her wrestling jiu-jitsu was probably a bit of a level above. But
dropped a clean twice as well. Like, not messing around.
No. I hope JoJo's not superstitious or cold or might be making her way back to her surname.
She wasn't doing too well on the ground with that name either.
True. Yeah. True.
I like the fact that Santos decided to engage with her in striking, though.
Yeah, I felt like it was on purpose.
Yeah,
I felt like it was to make a point. I was like, all right, let's see.
Yeah. Very slick.
Yeah, it's very bouncy, very elastic.
It's like this division, though, isn't it? You know what I mean? I mean, what is she, flyweight?
Yeah.
Like she's got wins over McCann, Robertson, Modafferi, and now Joanne Wood.
That's building. I'd like. Angela Lee next.
Yeah.
I reckon that would be a fun fight.
That would be a fun fight. Where is she? Yeah, she's
not too far up, right? Where is she?
You know what? I mean, she's got a long way to jump. She's at 10 currently, and the rankings haven't been updated because it's Monday. And Joanne Wood is at number 5. Like, she could potentially jump a few places in the rankings.
Yeah, that should be just... Maybe she might... Yeah.
You look at the
people
above
right,
her as
she'll
well.
She'll be right round Andrea Lee.
Yeah. Like, Calvillo's just come off a loss. She's just dropped... She's just dropped four places. Jessica Eyes holding steady at 8. Andrea Lee's up 5.
I suppose she just won. Man, they're both just won. Andrea Lee was last week, right?
Yeah.
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 That might. Yeah. There you go, Sean. I've done your job for you.
Yeah, Santos. I don't know. I mean,
but like her.
I'd even bump her up and throw her in there with Chookagian, you know.
Already?
Chookagian's got good footwork, but she's not like a heavy striker, but she is a great grappler. She's what, black belt, Enzo mm-hmm. Gracie. That might be an interesting matchup. That will really see where Santos's striking technique is.
Yeah.
Like, why
she's
not?
Good. I mean, a lot of favours beating Jojo,
yeah, for
isn't
sure it?
It
does.
A lot of favours.
Yeah. I'm excited for her because I think she, like, we need a few contenders in this division. Like, if you look up at the top, you've got Andrade, Chookagian, Murphy, Maya, and then and Jojo, who's obviously just lost. Like, you need a new contender in this division for Shevchenko. Mm. Like, if you get Santos one other good win in the top five, you've got another contender.
Yeah,
and I would go with either Laura Murphy or Chookagian.
Mm. It's tough when you got someone so dominant at the top of that division, isn't it? It's like you can't throw her in there too soon.
Is it too soon though? I mean, she is 19-1.
Yeah,
she's had a lot of fights.
Potentially she might break in the top five. She's just breaking in the top five, and then I suppose you get her one more. That's
Nah, get her up there.
Get her in there.
Yeah, why not? Why not? I think she can do it. I mean, stopping Jojo in the first round. And it wasn't like she took her down and subbed her. It was the whole game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, good. I enjoyed that fight. Good performance, man.
Really good.
Good performance.
Mate, Sean Brady.
Like I said, I just don't get it. I just do not understand how they are welterweights.
Massive, innit?
Massive.
Thick, strong, powerful, well-rounded.
Tough, innit? Like, Mike Chiesa was... He didn't necessarily do anything wrong. Brady's just a bit better than him.
Just a bit better than him.
If he like sat into his striking a little bit, Chiesa was piecing him up.
Yeah, but
he was catching him a lot.
But he's catching him because it's kind of awkward. It's not tidy.
No, it's not.
It's like awkward and weird. And because of that, you know that the mechanics behind it aren't necessarily great, which means it's probably hard. No, that's it. But he probably could if he had good mechanics.
Yeah,
because he's a thick, heavily muscled individual, especially now he's moved up to welterweight. Mm. I remember seeing him during Fight Island. I was like, "Fucking hell, he's a lot bigger than I thought he was going to be." If you taught him how to have a real good, strong prodding jab, you know, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to knock people out comfortably.
It's a very awkward style, isn't it?
Yeah,
very awkward style. I don't think he's not awkward. You know, some people are awkward in a good way, and they catch other people because they don't recognize the tempo and the timing of it. But it looks inefficiently awkward. But he was still landing, like he was still touching him. Quite regular intervals he was touching him, but then, fucking hell, the human vice clamp got on him and you ain't getting him off, are you?
Mm-mm.
You are not getting him off.
No.
His back's that thick.
Yeah.
And that's all pulling
that's
power.
That's a row position. Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah.
He's,
yeah.
I don't know. I watched it live and then, or maybe the morning after, and then I watched it again, I think this morning or last night. I think he's going to get picked apart standing.
Do you? Yeah.
By a couple of people. Thompson, Edwards, Luque. They're going to, I reckon, if...
So where he is right. That's another big win, just like before.
If Chiesa's touching him at the regularity that he was touching him, and you put Luque in there, he's going to touch him with a lot more damage.
There's some fucking killers between him and where Chiesa's ranked.
Yeah.
So Brady's 14 and Chiesa's 6. So he stands to jump a good few places in the next couple of days.
It's going
to
put him in that Thompson Edwards Luque bracket or not too far off.
Yeah, but then you look, so that means above him at the moment, between him and where Chiesa is, you've got Ponzinibbio, Leach, Jeff Neal, Chimaev, Bilal Muhammad, Neil Magny, and Masvidal.
Yeah, the chat's Hamzat, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was floating around social media.
Is that right? I wouldn't mind seeing him in there against Bilal Muhammad or Neil Magny. Like, there's a couple of good fights.
Yeah.
The Leech is coming off a loss.
He can out-grapple them.
Yeah, I think so.
The Hamzat one's interesting because it's...
Fucking hell. Like, that's just a nightmare for everybody. Did you see what he did to Hermansson?
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know what was funny is they were wrestling before they'd even cleared the cameras out of the cage. Did you see that?
They just go.
It was like Chimaev just started the round. Like, he started straight out scoring a point.
I haven't watched that full one. Yeah.
Watch it. It's good. Hermansson looked all right. You
so
know?
What rules? Just freestyle wrestling.
Yeah. But they did kind of use the cage a bit, and the commentators didn't really know exactly when they were going and what the limitation on points was. I think Chimaev ended up winning 8 points to nothing over 2 5-minute rounds.
Sounds exhausting.
But mate, it was good.
Yeah.
Hermansson held his own at points, yeah. He got better as the match went on.
That's cool.
But Chimaev is comparable in size to Hermansson, and his fucking wrestling technique is good. I was talking to Rasto about it earlier today, and I said, because obviously Rasto's a strong wrestler, I said, so how's his technique? He's like,
yeah, pretty fucking good.
Yeah. But one thing Rasto did say, which I thought was an interesting observation, like, before that wrestling exchange with Hermansson, like, we didn't really know where his limitations were. But towards the end of that match, you started to kind of see Hermansson have a couple of little victories here and there. And then if you
think
to yourself...
Careful, don't show your cards.
Exactly.
Don't show your card just for a fuck around wrestle.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what Rasto said. He was like, he might have given away a little bit there, even if it's just a confidence booster. I mean, something else I read online, which I thought was interesting, is that it would be easier for him to beat Izzy than it would be to beat Usman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could put Chimaev in there against the middleweight champion of the world right now.
Yeah,
and I would say he's got a fairly good chance of beating him, especially compared to how his chances would be against Usman right now.
Mm.
I think Usman's
parts of the game just sync up slightly different, don't they?
That's it.
Yeah,
like I mean, the thing is, I can picture him just absolutely mauling Usman. I think it would be. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know about mauling.
Yeah, but.
Like, maybe slightly getting the better in the wrestle, but not ragging him around like
Khabib did to Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah,
but that happened. I didn't think that was going to happen to Justin Gaethje. Like, people know, I thought Justin Gaethje was going to be Khabib's toughest test.
Yeah, they remind you about that quite a lot, don't they?
Yeah, I don't mind being wrong. I like to learn.
Being right the whole time.
But that's what then puts this in question. Because there's something special about Chimaev, there's no doubt.
Mm.
Like, and nobody in that division wants the matchmakers to call him and say, hey, you're fighting Chimaev next. Like, every time there's a stir online, it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, there's that video of him chatting to Darren Till live on Instagram. There were 29,000 people watching that.
Yeah.
Live on his Instagram. Like, you can match him up against anybody.
My God.
And there's a massive stir.
Nobody out of that 29,000 people knew what either party was saying during that time. It was like, oh.
Right?
Can anyone sign language this? Because I have no idea what's going on.
Closed captions, emoji.
No idea. What are they speaking?
Not one of those people above Chimaev is saying, "Yeah, I'll fight him," and being vocal about it.
Well, even after the fight, DC prodded Sean Brady like 3 times for who you want to fight, and he was just like, "Whoever,
whoever."
I don't know whether that was like, you know, fucking whoever or whoever, not Hamzat.
Yeah. Yeah, with the asterisk.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I really like Sean Brady because he's got really cool tattoos.
He has got really cool tattoos.
But I think he's going to get... I don't know, man. You know, I just feel like if Mike was touching him, what is Vicente Luque going to do to him?
Yeah, potentially.
Until he gets his hands on him.
Or Wonderboy.
Or Wonderboy. Obviously, as soon as he gets his hands on him, everyone's going to be a bit chill because he does look like a human vice grip.
He does. Did you see the tattoo comparison?
Yeah.
Tiger on Chiesa and what was he? Guillotine and a tiger.
Guillotine a tiger.
Wicked.
Funny.
I think he's a great addition to the welterweight division.
Yeah, he definitely he's definitely not an easy match for anyone, is he?
No, he's not.
I just wonder where his striking leaves him in the whole scheme of things.
Yeah. Imagine what it's like being Usman looking down at the division. You can see the likes of Sean Brady and Chimaev on the way up.
Yeah,
come and get it, boys.
I'll decide when.
Yeah,
it was good to see Misha back in there. Do you feel like her stand-up style has changed a little bit, and she's not quite sure about it? She just looked a little bit unsure.
I don't ever really think she's been
going on at one stage. I was like, I don't know what's going on here.
I don't ever think she's been
natural striker.
No,
is she?
She's not. She's not.
You know, when you, like a million times we've said, you can see like a grappler striking, you can see a striker grappling is not quite as obvious to see, but other than that, they're not doing very well.
It might be to a grappler.
Yeah, maybe.
You're talking from a striker's perspective.
Well, that's rich.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think she's ever looked particularly comfortable on the feet. And I think MMA's moving on.
Mm.
Like, people were really impressed with her fight against Marion Renault.
Yeah,
but Marion Renault's of the same generation.
Yeah,
to
it was
me,
the perfect fight. We said that in the preview, didn't we? It was the perfect matchup for her.
There was someone commenting on all the war room and the posts and shit, and they were like, "Caitlin Vieira is no good. Caitlin Vieira is no good. Misha Tate's gonna win." I'm like, yeah, I kind of couldn't not say it in the war room. I'm like, it's a hard fight for Misha.
Yeah.
Like, Caitlin Vieira is just
massive.
She's fucking huge, isn't she?
Massive.
And she puts everything together so well. Like, Misha's kind of awkward on the feet, and then she gets a bit more comfortable in the clinch range, but then she kind of looks a bit panicked until she's on the ground in control.
Yeah. Caitlin did that, like, accumulation damage.
Because
I didn't necessarily notice like big shots being landed, but every now and again you get like a pan of Misha's face and a fucking eye was swollen shut and nose is all busted up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, she's getting hit. She's getting hit a lot. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Caitlin's here to stay, isn't she? I just wonder where she goes next. It's probably a little bit early for Sakai rematching it.
I think a little bit. But I also think that she would have... I don't think that fight would go the same second time
around.
No,
I think she's different now.
I think she was... I mean, she was close to beating Kunitskaya. Mm. I think if it wasn't for that last... What was it? Minute where Kunitskaya managed to get on top and land those elbows. I think that was the thing that swayed it for... Well, I mean, it was a split decision, wasn't it?
She won't get... I don't think they'll... Was it split? They won't make that again.
No, I don't think
soon,
so.
I don't know where Aspen Ladd's at. I'm not sure what she's doing.
What's Irene Aldana doing? That'd be a good fight.
Yeah, she's lost to her already, hasn't she?
Oh, yeah, of course she's lost her. Yeah. That would be a good one then.
And Pena's matched. Passed. The only really other one is Holly Holm. Is Holly Holm matched?
I don't know.
Maybe she's due. She must be due a fight. I think she had a couple cancelled. But that's tough.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think that's too much too soon?
Who? For Holly Holm?
No, for Caitlin.
To fight
Holly Holm.
Yeah, I think so.
A little bit.
I think Holly Holm keeps her on. I think she does what she did to Aldana and keeps her on the end of her foot.
Maybe make the Aldana rematch to see what happens.
Yeah. Aldana's not fought since she lost Holly Holm, has she?
Sell up.
Oh, she has, yeah. She stopped Kunitskaya in the first round.
Oh, it's
yeah, that might
tight
be a good
on that
one.
Division, isn't it?
That might be a good one. Instead of getting revenge over Kunitskaya, beat someone that beat her.
Yeah. And then not bother with that rematch because it was a split decision anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like she could have won that fight. And I feel like she would feel confident going into a rematch with Kunitskaya.
Mm.
She just, I don't know. She just took her eyes off the prize.
Yeah, she's going to be difficult for a lot of people, isn't she?
Yeah.
But she doesn't have no real like pop. She doesn't look like... She's not very elastic, you know, like we talk about all the time, don't we, about people having bounce and being elastic. She doesn't seem to have that. She's relatively flat-footed. But she just looks strong and
do you think she'd
difficult.
Be underpowered against Nunes then?
Maybe, but she'd be bigger than Nunes though, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Let me have a quick... So she's 30, she's 5'8", 68-inch reach. No, I think she's about the same. What is
same.
Nunes fuck must be 5'7". Must be 5'7", 5'8".
Mm.
Not a contender just yet. You
know? No, I don't reckon you.
No.
Too early.
I don't know.
Tempting to push her through in it and rush her up.
Yeah, it is a bit, but no, she's not ready just yet. I'd like her to pick up a couple more wins.
I think she's in that handful stage. She's like a handful for people right now.
That was
now.
A unanimous decision to Kunitskaya.
How was it?
Yeah, I think there's a couple more fights for her yet. She's still high in the rankings though, isn't she? I was just looking. She's number 7.
Fuck, she's gonna
like she might have to open the door to someone lower down, like a Macy Chasson or
right.
So you're heading off, are you?
I've got to go on a little mission to New
mission.
York. Yeah, we've got a little mission in New York for 3 weeks. So we sorted out what we're doing next week.
Yeah, you're gonna do one next week. You wanna do it next week?
Yeah,
there we go. Jamie next
tell you
week.
What, mate, this is some big shoes to fill over here. Seriously, some huge shoes to fill. 9.5.
and a half.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. We've got a little little break. Jamie and a couple of other people are going to fill in there.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens.
Okay, so you want to do next week then. So that's Font Aldo. And then the week after is Jimmy Warlett.
Yes.
He's going to do Charles Oliveira Poirier.
Oh my God, I'm for that one. I'll write his notes for him, don't worry.
And then I'll see if V wants to do the Lewis Daukaus one.
And then I'm back 21st of December.
Yeah.
I looked on the schedule. They're not doing like a New Year card or anything like that.
No, there's no New Year.
Do they not normally do a big New Year card?
Yeah, normally they do. Normally they do like a December sort of 28th, 29th, 30th in Vegas. Yeah.
But I didn't see anything. They wouldn't drop something in now, would they?
No, I don't think
so. Too late.
I think so.
Too late. All right. So there might not be one there.
Oh, and we've got Jake Paul against Tommy Fury on the 18th of December as well.
It's almost like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I sort of want him to win just to see what happens to Tommy.
I think he's got a good shot.
He's going to get beaten by a bike chain by his dad. His brother's told him not to come home. He's going to have to move countries.
He'll change his name.
He's changed his name.
I think he's got a good chance of beating Tommy Fury.
Do you?
Yeah. Like Jake Paul's
I've not really watched Tommy Fury box. Oh, I don't think I've ever seen him box.
He's good, but he's basic. You know what I mean? It's like he's not certain with everything he's throwing. He's not throwing it to fucking
so
really
much
hurt
pressure
people.
On him.
Yeah, like Tyson, you can see Tyson's calculated and he's thinking and he's working his opponent over psychologically.
Oh
I don't see the same thing with Tommy.
So
he looks
pressure.
The part. He looks fucking great. But
are they comparable in like size? Because I know that.
Almost exactly, actually.
Much smaller than them.
Yeah, they're comfortably the same size, about the same height and weight.
God,
I don't know, I just feel like Jake Paul's, like, he's working hard. Like, he's got a lot on the line here. And it's not like he's not a big, talented kid. What is he, 24?
Yeah.
You know, he's got all the money in the world.
The pressure's just not the same. The pressure on someone who's saying that they're a professional boxer and they're from a fighting man's family. That's pressure.
That is pressure.
You ain't coming to Christmas dinner if you lose this fight,
imagine.
Mate.
Imagine.
No way.
Imagine. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Check out onbanmarino.com. Heaps of discounts going on over Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And don't forget, hold on. Let me just get this right. Extra Outlaw, right?
Outlaw Extra.
Outlaw Extra.
Oh, gee.
Outlaw Extra.
Fucking one job.
For an extra 5% on top of all the other discounts. Outlaw Extra. That is literally my only job. There we go. Nice one, bro.
Catch you next time.